The Literary Escape March Madness Book Edition will begin this Friday, March 1st. This is a fun battle of the books as readers vote for their favorite book series each week until we have a final winner. Last year, Crystal Caudle's series Hidden Hearts of the Gilded Age won our March Madness tournament. I cannot wait to see which book will be the winner in 2024. First round of voting will be in this week's newsletter, so be sure to sign up. Have you struggled through writing a synopsis or blurb for your novel and decided short form fiction is not for you? Join us for our next expert training on Thursday, March 21st at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Author Abby Downey will share how authors can leverage the power of flash fiction to grow their author platform. This class will not only give tips and tricks to make writing the shortest stories easier, but will also show you why you should try and how flash fiction can help your writing career and marketing efforts. You can sign up using the link in the blog post for this episode. And I highly recommend this session. I highly recommend all of ours, but I've done this session with Abby. It's very interactive and you will enjoy it and walk away with some new writing skills. Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. All right, we are hopping into this Writer's Wednesday episode with Liz Tolsma. She is an author, editor, podcaster, mother, and wife. She loves editing and helping new authors hone their skills and start their author journey. All right. Well, welcome, Liz Tolsma. I'm so excited to have you on our podcast today to talk about Deep Point of View.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really glad to be here. I love talking about DPOV. It's something I'm really passionate about in my own writing and in my editing. So I'm always happy to share about it.
Wonderful. And honestly, I think for new writers, this is kind of a hard concept to get down and to do well. It is a topic that's come up in my writers group many times about what does it actually look like, sound like, and how do I get there? So, but before we jump into that, could you just define what deep point of view is?
Yes. So when I was learning deep point of view and trying to figure out what it was, I did a lot of research and it was hard to come up with a definition, but I finally found one that I think is the best definition I've ever heard. What you're striving for as a writer is for your readers to be fully immersed in your story and to completely crawl inside the skin of the point of view character in that scene. So you don't want them to merely read about the character. That's a really surface level. You want them to become that character, to really experience that character, experience the world of that character, everything that's happening around them through that character's eyes, and to also feel that character's emotions so that it's a really immersive experience. Maybe immersive POV is better than deep POV. It's a little more descriptive and a little more what it actually is.
I would agree. And I think it gives you a way better idea of how to apply that in your writing, how to immerse. I like that definition. So as we go through our writing and we're looking at our point of view characters and we're trying to make sure that we have that deep point of view, that we're immersing the reader, Do you have an example to show the difference between, I guess, would you call it regular point of view and versus deep point of view? I don't know that there's a term for it, but
yeah, I don't know if there is. Just, yeah, I guess regular point of view versus deep POV. So there are lots of different examples that I could use, but here are a few that I've pulled up. So for example, not deep POV might be Carla teetered on the edge of the high dive, staring down at the water so far below. I'm not sure I can do this. And since I don't have a screen to share or anything, that I'm not sure I can do this is in italics, and it's first person present tense, as you can tell. Deep POV gets rid of the italics, gets rid of the first person present tense, and puts it into third person past tense. So that same couple of sentences would look like this. Carla teetered on the edge of the high dive and stared down at the water so far below. She couldn't do this. So that gets a little bit more into her head. It seems strange because you're getting rid of the I, but the goal of deep POV is to remove all traces of authorship from it. And the italics are a sure sign of authorship there. And they pull the reader out of that fictional dream that you've worked so hard to create. So by keeping it out of italics, keeping it all third person, past tense, or whatever you're writing in, it keeps it deep and gets rid of those traces of authorship and doesn't pull your reader out of that fictional dream. It keeps them in it. So that's one example of regular POV versus deep POV. Another one might be, he felt pain shoot up his leg. It's naming emotion. And that's another thing you don't want to do when you're deep POV. You want to show, you know, the old show versus telling, mm-hmm. or telling versus showing, whichever way it goes. That really is deep POV is what that's getting at. So when you show, that's not deep POV. When you tell, I'm sorry, I got that backwards. When you tell, it's not deep POV. When you show, it is deep POV. So he felt the pain shoot up his leg, not deep POV. The pain shot up his leg like a hot knife. That's deep POV. We've got rid of that word felt and describing that emotion and showed it instead. Everyone knows what like that hot knife feeling is like. And you can relate to that.
Yeah.
Again, that's touching readers' emotions and getting them to understand and sympathize with your character. And another one more example might be embarrassment washed over her. Again, it's naming the emotion, embarrassment. Instead, we want to show that embarrassment. So she fanned her warm face. If only she could crawl into a hole and never come out. We've all felt that. We've all been there, you know, like, oh my goodness, you know. So that just resonates with the reader so much more than embarrassment washed over her. Fine sentence, not much wrong with it, but it just is so much stronger if there's the showing and not the telling, not naming the emotion, but showing the emotion.
Yes. And your examples are, those are really great. What I notice is the vivid language too. It took it from like a bland, it's okay, it gets the point across, to just being very vivid. I like that. And like you mentioned earlier, really pulling and immersing the reader into the story. And as I listen to your examples, and I think back to some of our writers in our writers group, they worry about not being in deep POV. But as I'm listening, they really are. They might have a few areas where we need to do some tweaking. But I think what the biggest struggle that we come up against is we just don't really know what deep POV is. So I appreciate you sharing that. And I have to go back to, I love that definition of immersing the reader. So what tips and tricks then do you have for authors when they're writing deep POV? You kind of gave us a few, and it might even also be what tips and tricks do you give for when you go back and you're looking through your manuscript to kind of catch those that we need to improve.
Sure. And everybody will learn how to do this. The more and more you do this, the more and more you will learn how to do it. It will become more natural, but there will always be places that it can be shored up. Even going through my own manuscripts, I'm like, oh, that could be deeper. That could be deeper. I need to get rid of this. So I have 6 different ways that you can really help accomplish writing in deep POVs. And some of this I have mentioned. First of all, getting rid of as many italics as possible. So changing that first person present tense into third person past tense, if that's a POV that you're using, and taking out the italics. And it's just really gotten to be one of my pet peeves as a reader is seeing all those italics. It's like, oh, it would be so easy to make this just a little bit deeper by getting rid of those. So that's one thing that you can do. And I've been asked, well, what about when they're praying? So for example, the stalker's shadow danced on her bedroom wall. Lord, please help me. A short prayer like that, 4 words long, isn't really bad. It's sometimes these really long prayers that are paragraphs of italicized words. But even then, with this short example, it can be changed to make it a little bit deeper. The stalker's shadow danced on her bedroom wall. The Lord needed to send some help fast. Just even changing that prayer a little bit in that case makes it a little bit deeper. So that's one way. Just get rid of as many italics as you can. There will probably be a few here and there in your book, but as many as you can get rid of, get rid of.
I like, too, that you gave the example with the prayer, because that is another question that's popped up in our group very often. Should I use italics with the prayer? Should I not?
Yes, of course, if they're speaking a prayer out loud, then it needs to be in quotation marks, and that's fine. If it's an internal prayer, you either need to use the italics and keep it short, or do something like in my previous example where the specific words of the prayer maybe aren't used, but just the general feeling of the prayer. Mm-hmm. Now, another tip that I have is there are signal words that you are not in deep POV. In my editing, I point this out, and in my going through my own manuscripts, I watch these words a lot. So words like felt, we had that example before where he felt the pain in his leg. That's a big no-no. Thought. You have to learn how you think. Think about how you think. You don't say, oh, I think it might be a nice day for a picnic. You say, it might be a nice day for a picnic. Look, the sun's out. You know, something like that. That's more how you think. So thought, think, saw is another one. She saw the car going down the street. You don't think, oh, I saw that car. You know, you're looking out the window. Oh, I see a car going down the street. No, you think there's a car going down the street. So saw is another word. Wondered, hoped, imagined, heard, tasted, remembered, all of those. And more probably signal that you are not in deep POV. You want to get rid of all those signal words that tell the reader what's going on in the character's world. That's telling the reader, again, what the character saw or wondered or imagined, and instead showing what the character saw, wondered, imagined, et cetera, et cetera. So again, if you really are getting showing versus telling down, your halfway through the battle of deep POV. They really overlap. A third tip I have is to avoid using tags as much as possible. Again, that's traces of authorship there. When you say John said or Joan shouted, those are the tags. Sometimes it's necessary to do it when you're in a very rapid fire, back and forth, quick paced scene where you need to just let the reader know who is speaking, that it might be appropriate. But most of the time, you can either go without anything or use a beat. And beats are Now, some very simple, not such great ones are Sally nodded, John tapped the pencil on the table, Mark narrowed his eyes, but things like that. Add depth to your scene and give it some action and some movement as well. So you can move away from beats to a degree also by giving each character a distinct way of speaking. So if you have a character, maybe an older lady who calls everybody dear, you don't have to say Margie said, because she's calling everybody dear. You know, that's Margie speaking, for example. So she doesn't really need a beat or a tag or anything, because the reader's going to know right away who it is who's speaking. So getting rid of as many tags as possible is another way to stay in deep POV. Another one, number four, that we mentioned already is avoid naming emotions. You know, angry, embarrassed, confused, happy, sad, you know, the whole range of them. There's thousands of emotion words. Get as rid of as many of those as possible and show instead. And a great book. Every writer should have this book next to their computer while they're writing or editing, is The Emotion Thesaurus by Angela Ackerman and Becca Puglisi. I'm sure I'm massacring her name, but maybe many of you have already have heard of that. If you haven't, run out and get it. It's not expensive. It should be right next to you. You can get it in ebook form, even cheaper. But that's great for helping you to show those emotions instead of naming those emotions.
I always have that one next to me, and the Body Beats to Build On. I have both those beside me as I'm writing. So,
both excellent ones to have for sure. And then just a couple other quick ones. Remember that each character is going to see things differently. So if a housewife is your POV character, she might walk into a house, notice that the floors really need to be swept and the pile of laundry needs to go in the washing machine. If an architect walks into that same home, he's going to notice the open floor plan and the soaring ceilings. So you have to keep that in mind as you write deep POV. How is your character going to be acting and reacting to the things they see, hear, feel, so on and so forth? And lastly, stay in deep POV when describing a scene. Have the characters interact with the setting and react to it. So not POV. Not bad writing. I'm not saying this is bad writing, but not POV would be deep POV would be gleaming hardwood floor stretched throughout the home. An overstuffed sofa sat in the corner, bright yellow and orange pillows bringing a pop of color to the room. Okay, not bad writing at all. Not long description, so I wouldn't have a problem with it necessarily if I came across it in a book, but it can be made deeper. So, for example, she slid her shoes off and skated across the hardwood floors in her socks. The overstuffed chair in the corner beckoned to her, inviting her to take a nap. Oh, how wonderful that would be. She plopped down in it, a colorful yellow and orange pillow under her head. She snuggled in the softness of the cushions and sleep claimed her. Just a little bit stronger, a little bit deeper. We all have skated across floors in our socks. We all know how wonderful when you're really tired it is to just snuggle in your favorite chair and fall asleep, take a nap. Yeah. So you're really relating to the reader and making that setting come alive when you write that way.
That's what I was going to say. That description of the setting was much more inviting, that you can just slide right into it. Right?
Exactly.
Like even I'm thinking, ooh, wouldn't I like to curl up right now?
So for sure. For sure. And like I said, this is all relating to the reader. The reader knows, like I said, we've all done this. And so the reader goes just like you did. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're immersed. They're immersed. And they're in this character's skin. They're in this living in this character's head and really experiencing the story instead of just reading it.
Yeah. Those are wonderful tips as well. I was trying to write them all down as we were going through them. So I know that you do some trainings on deep POV as well, correct?
Yes, I do training and speaking on deep POV as well as being an editor. And that's all in addition to my own writing. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Can you just share how our listeners then can connect with you if they'd like to connect with you further, either to dive into this topic or to talk to you about editing services?
Sure. So my website is simply liztolsma.com. And if you go there, you will see the editing tab, if that's what you want to connect with me about. And that will just bring you to that. You can see all my services there. Or if you would like me to speak to your group or something, then under the speaking tab, there's all that information. And you can contact me through my contact page for anything that I can help you with. I'm always happy to talk about this. One thing I did want to mention is that I have heard romance writers, especially if it's just straight, sweet Christian romance, say, well, deep POV is not for me. It's only for suspense, mystery, that kind of thing. And I say that's baloney. I think deep POV is such a useful tool and can improve writing in any genre, whether it's the simple, sweet, straightforward romance, or it's a cozy mystery or suspense or anything like that, even fantasy, whatever genre you're writing in, deep POV is for you.
Right. Because like, again, you want to immerse your reader into your story, and then it's more memorable.
Exactly.
Sticks with them. So
for sure.
Wonderful. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today. I learned a lot, even taking a lot of notes, and I'm sure our listeners did as well.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been fun. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.